you the phone she wrote on the phone and that by that you never fix on the Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. What's the lady there? Ravya? Ravya or Ganga? Ravya Swamavasyan Arman Saler Ekadasami Manaso Vitara Samasrasa Sadasa Kodishashas Sa Yetratyato Na Nito Na Swata Shu Jabya Swamavasya Samadhi Ekadasani Manaso Dipra Sahasrasa Sadasa Kodishasya Tetra Tetra Namiko Naswatasu Radya Svabhavasya Karma Palai Kaler Eta Dasani Mana Sovitaram Sahasrasaha Satasa Koti Sascharam Ketra Dato Namiko Nasvatasyo Navya Svabhavasya Karma Kale Ekadasami Manaso Vikadamam Sahasrasaha Satasa Koti Sascharam Ketarna ko namiko nasvatasu Jaya Shababasya Kamakaya Ekara Sambi Manaso Vipadatma Asrasata satasa bodhisattva Vedanya to namito svasvata Yasvabhavasya mamakulane Ekara sami manaso vinaham Sahasrasaha satasa bodhisattva Yetra tato namiko svasvata Thank you. Swabhava, by the nature as a cause of development. Vishaya, by culture, karma, by predestined results and actions. Kalai, by time. Ekadasa, 11. Ami, all these, manasa, of the mind, vikara, transformations, sahasrata, 10,000s, sadasaha, in hundreds, kotisha, and in millions, tetragyata, from the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not, because, one another, na, or, swataha, from themselves, should, not. Translations, and purple by divine grace, by showing out in the book of Sanctus, some people find the deep day, for which I sent, and small translations from. And now it is Asha Arasha Shang Chamamsi Visharaka Rakyaraka Abhijalpa Shukpaha Ekadasam Sri Karanam Vameti Sayam Vam Varasamitam. Translation. Sound, touch, form, taste, and smell are the objects of the five knowledge acquiring senses. Speech, touch, movement, evacuation, and sexual intercourse are the objects of the working senses. Besides this, there is another conception by which one thinks, this is my body, this is my society, this is my family, this is my nation, and so forth. This 11th function, that of the mind, is called the false ego. According to some philosophers, this is the 12th function, and its field of activity is the body. There are 12 different objects. There are different objects for the 11 items. Through the nose we can smell, through the eyes we can see, by the ears we can hear, and in this way we gather knowledge. Similarly, there are the kamendriyas, the working senses, the hands, legs, genitals, rectum, mouth, and so forth. When the false ego expands, it makes one think, this is my body, family, society, country, etc. The physical elements
nature, the original cause, culture, destiny, and time, as the time element, are all material causes. Agitated by these material causes, the 11 functions transform into hundreds of functions, and then into thousands, and then into millions. But all these transformations do not take place automatically by mutual combination. Rather, they are under the direction of the Supreme Personality of God. The physical elements, nature, the original cause, culture, destiny, and the time element are all material causes. Agitated by these material causes, the 11 functions transform into hundreds of functions, and then into thousands, and then into millions. But all of these transformations do not take place automatically by a mutual combination. Rather, they are under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should not think that all the interactions of the physical elements, gross and subtle, that cause the transformation of mind and consciousness are working independently. They are under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Krishna says that the Lord is situated in everyone's heart. Savasya chaham hidi shani vishto madaha smritiye janavom apohalam cha. As mentioned here, Supasoul, the Kechagga, is directing everything. A living entity is also a Kechagga, but the Supreme Kechagga is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the witness and the order giver. Under his direction, everything takes place. The different inclinations of the living entities are created by his own nature or his expectations. And he is trained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the agency of material nature. The body, nature, and physical elements are under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They do not function automatically. Nature is neither independent nor automatic. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is behind nature. Nyavyakshina prakriti shruyate sa chalacharam etuni na prodhya chalakati pahi paratate. This material nature is working under my direction, the Son of Prabhu. And it's producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, text number 10. So here have been described the different senses, the working senses, knowledge acquiring senses, sense objects. So it is at least 11 functions. The different functions of the mind. And sound, touch, form, taste, smell are the objects of the knowledge acquiring senses. Speech, touch, movement, evacuation, sexual intercourse are the objects of the working senses. So you get these senses and sense objects and this is what is happening in the material world, the material energy, known as Maya, is simply presenting sense objects, moving sense objects around because of every movement. And our senses are interacting with different sense objects. And this, when a sense object is presented before us, the mind says, well, I like it or I don't like it. If I like it, I'll accept it. If I don't like it, I'll reject it. This is what goes on in the material world. That's all. And like this, we're just going to revive doing exactly the same thing at the time. Accepting something and rejecting something. Accepting something and rejecting something. So, this is due to, as it says, there is another conception by which one thinks that this is my body, my society, my family, this is my nation, and so forth. This 11th function, that of the mind, is called the false ego. And according to some philosophers, the 12th function in the field of the body. So because the false ego is a threefold action, of I and mine, I am this body, and this world is mine to enjoy. So it's like a twofold action. So some philosophers say it's a twofold action. So there's 12 of them. Anyway, that is the way the false ego functions. It means that I and mine means I am the enjoyer, and this world is mine to enjoy. Or I am the controller, I control this world to enjoy. So this is the... the false ego. It's actually the first covering outside of ignorance. Ignorance is the first covering. Ignorance means Krishna takes his remembrance away. Because we can't really control the joy of Krishna is there because that's his situation. So Krishna arranges it because we desire it and we can't arrange it ourselves. So Krishna arranges the whole material setup so we can act out being the controllers and joys. So the first thing that has to happen is that he has to be out of the picture, otherwise how do we claim to be the controller and enjoy it? We wonder if he is the controller and enjoy it. So he kindly covers us with a vidya of forgetfulness of his identity. Now you can start your material social, undefeated by any competitor or supreme competitor. So, like here, when all the living entities come out from breathing the glance of Mahavishnu. This is before the creation of the manifestation of the three modes of material nature, so really nothing's happening. There's no manifestation. So the Jesus, more or less in Vasudeva consciousness at that moment, in pure consciousness, has come out of the body of Vishnu into the Padang, but it's unmanifested. So it's like pure consciousness, Vasudeva consciousness. Most of nature. So then, the first thing to make his appearance is the false ego. And this is the false ego is the dictation of Shankarshan. Shankarshan is the presiding deity of the false ego, represented as Lord Shiva. He's the egoistic prince. He is the ego of the universal form. Krishna has a false ego. In his universal form, he has a false ego. He has everything else. So that's called Shiva. He acts as the false ego. So this dictation coming is I am the controller and this is the Purusha Bhava. I'm the preacher, I'm the speaker. So it's a mood that comes, this dictation, it's a mood that I'm in control and enjoy. So if you're thinking anything, you say, oh yeah, that's what I want to do. That's what exactly what I want. Be the controller. So the moment we make the choice, then now there's need for creation, otherwise there's no need for creation. Because the purpose of the creation is to satisfy the living entity who want to be rebellious. So as soon as the living entity desires, oh yes, he adopts that belief above, yes, I can be the controller. So then the whole material world unrolls, of course, it's like the carpet, like you unroll the carpet. It's all simultaneously manifested. And then the living entity has this belief above, and then he just moves around, and he's covered with these senses and mind, and meeting sense objects, and I control this, can I enjoy it, or if not, I had experience, so I didn't get much pleasure from it, so I rejected. So then again, I had experience previously that I got some pleasure from this, so I accepted. And so all that karma is behind us, all those ashrama, those impressions behind us that force us to like something and force us to hate something. So this is the. What's going on in the material world. And so there are hundreds and, as it says, in millions, hundreds expanded in thousands to millions of different functions and varieties for the living entity, for these sense objects, for him to enjoy. It's like 8,400,000. Well, 4,000, 8,400,000, like you have 400,000 species of humans. Look at the variety there. How much variety just in, like, in one object of a human, say, or a body of a human? You get 400,000 species, black, white, dominant, cutters, hoopers, doggy goods. Many varieties of humans. Dominant. 400,000. Just one object alone expands into hundreds and thousands. The sense objects you can have. For the nose, for the sense of smell, you need sense objects, and you get nice and you get sandalwood or agaru or musk or camphor. That comes with a great sense. You get unpleasant sense also. But how many, okay, so this is just one sense object, sense of smelling. How many varieties of smelling are there? How many, ladies, how many varieties of scents when you go into the perfume shop? How many varieties are there? Or incense when you buy? How many varieties of incense when you buy? It's unlimited, but it's unlimited. Just for that one, just to satisfy that one sense. You have objects like, you know, rubies or gold or. How many, precious, how many earrings, varieties of earrings? I bet no people magic is not the same earrings. So, it's just here, there's like so many varieties. Radhamana has like some necklaces and things like that. All different varieties of different jewels. So, from just one object, you can make hundreds and thousands of varieties. I mean, this is right now, we speak of the past. All the different varieties of ornaments and things we can make exist. Yeah, so everybody wants this variety is there, so this is how everything expands and expands. So we have hundreds and hundreds of ways of desiring. I think we have 8,400,000 ways of desiring. And that's why there's 8 million people in the world. It's a piece of the bride. So you think, Messiah will do the piece of the bride. If you say eight four like species, it's coming from a combination of the closing generation. With this passion and ignorance. You multiply these, I think. 3 into 3 is 9. 9 into 9 is 81. So you go on and on and on, and then you get 8. I think I try to work out, I can do it. The top of this is that you come to 8,400,000. So let's just complete on that. You have 3 primary colors, red, blue, and yellow. Red, blue, and yellow. You mix yellow and blue, what do you get? Green. You mix red and yellow, you get orange. You mix this makes yellow and green. Yeah, like that. So then you get 9, and then you mix more colors. So the obvious here, I'm going to be doing a range of colors. But this is how the modes are working, all these different combinations. Then you get a different result. So the living entity is experiencing, tasting all these different results from these different types of bodies. Looking for that ultimate satisfaction, and I'll get it in this form, I'll get it in this form, I'll get it in this form. This is the grand illusion. So, so this is how we're bound up in this material energy. Interaction with these senses and the sense objects. And the mind is identifying the body through the false ego. So they're bound up by all these different features. And then you've got, here it says that calmness, there are things like karma, external influences, the time. Time's going to influence everything. It's just not the time that everybody gets up and leaves. It's just going to influence everything. Time's going to influence everything. Things like culture. Culture will influence you. Whatever culture you're in, that will influence you. It will help that culture. What you associate with it. And that will do with you. And then there's the Shino's material nature. Constantly moving, they're always in competition, so constantly you're being influenced by the ideas, and the mixture of constantly, it's constantly acting, they're constantly moving. Under the influence of the material nature. And then you get the it's Kali Yuga also. Other things are thrown in, especially Kali Yuga, unlucky, misguided, lazy. You mix all these together, but you're really bound up. And then you get your astrological sign. And the same, you're influenced by it. It's pretty accurate. I was just reading in the Microacademy, I think they were doing this, called it, and the pamphlet was there, it had the different zodiac signs, so I hope the mind. And this type of personality, and it's, you know, it's really pretty good. And well, that's me, you know. A lot of it, not all of it, but. And then there's 12 of these signs, and everyone's so in, everyone's influenced by these. The one I like best, it said 3 things. One is a dreamer, they like dreaming. I mean, you know, fantasy, something else like that, or something, but yeah. But this is fact that the world is a fantasy. This is a fantasy, actually. I'm not signing it, but it is a fantasy. It is like a dream, you know. It's all combination. In fact, it is a dream, but it's Mahavishnu's dream. He's laying on the boards of ocean. He's having a dream. It's an animal's dream. He chose his heart to respond to a Lakshmi. So he's having an animal's dream. So he can do dreams you're interested in. It's not even conscious, so. So he consorts with his energy, with energy. And so this is a dream of Vishnu, so with all his fantasy stuff. But for us it's very good. We really accept it as real. Because we're identifying with the objects of the senses and the senses. It says the objects of the senses are higher than the senses. The mind is higher than the Acharya said, and Bhagavad Gita says the other said the senses are higher than the whole mind, then higher than that is the mind, higher than that is the senses, higher than that is the soul. The Acharya also, and Prabhupada also says in the purple, the sense objects are higher than the senses themselves. The senses are like active, this object is not active, it seems more that the senses superior to the sense object, but they say no. Why these sense objects are superior to the senses is because they empower the attract the senses. They attract the power, so therefore they're considered superior to the senses. So they're drawn to them and they're attracted. So, due to this misidentification, by ignorance, by the ego, we're misidentifying everything of what it really is, or what it should be. It's caused by ignorance. And within the jiva, things like his capacity for action and enjoyment are his very nature. But although these things are the nature of the things related to him, but he thinks it's my nature. But it's just the nature of the body and senses, which they know. So we misidentify, this is my nature. It's the body and nature, and we're not the body. It's like the dog, if you put him on the throne, and then you throw the bone, immediately jumps off the throne because he's a dog, and he runs to get the bone. That's his nature, it's the nature of the dog, so we have it. The body has a nature. But that's not us, but we're identifying as being that nature. I get a human body and so many varieties of humans. We know that everyone has a different nature. How I act, what I like, how I live. This is my nature. This is me. We say, this is me. This is how I am. This is my being. This is how I identify myself with this nature. But it's just the nature of the body and the senses, and the sense objects. And so because I identify with the body, then I identify myself with the illusions, the happiness, the suffering, the birth, and the death. I'm identifying with all these because of the nature of the body. And I have to go through it, I have to experience it, and it's real for me because I'm dreaming also. Now this one's a pure dream, my dream is it's fabricated through ignorance. My vision is dreams in transcendence. How my dream is in ignorance. So I really think it's me, this makes me, so therefore I have to suffer. Old age, birth, and disease, and death, and I really think I'm dying. And everybody thinks they're dying. That's my limitation. Whatever we're not going to see you again. That's a horrible thing. But it's just the nature of the body, it's going to go through that. And grow old. The one who's taking the birth, death is certain. It's going to grow old and get diseased. Is unavoidable. It's the nature of the body, apart from all the other things in the greatest in between. But this is the great illusion that we're identifying the nature of the body and the senses as being us. And it's very so nicely by Christians, but then you can enjoy it, you can really enjoy it. It's a strong identity. If it's not there, it's illusion, then how can we enjoy it? So Christians are creator. We can't even imagine creating anything like this in prayer. And to satisfy our selfish, childish desire to eat this and come and drop them separately. But this is prepared to go through a whole universe, not only one huge, complicated universe, but billions and millions of universe. That's a friend. We're envious of him, we want to imitate him, but he's meant to go to the extent of creating universes. All geared up so we can forget him and we can actually fulfill our desire. This is the magnanimity of the Supreme Father of the Bible. Anyway, understanding that all these are Krishna's energies, the senses are Krishna's energies, the sense of is the mind is Krishna's energy, the Ahankara is Krishna's. It's all Krishna's energy. Senses and sense objects. It's all Krishna's energy. So simply by knowing that, Krishna's energy. And we don't have to worry about the senses and the sense objects and their interactions. We just worry about serving Krishna. That's who we are. That is our identity. We are the eternal servant of Krishna. We're not this body of the senses. Somehow we use the body of the senses in Krishna's service. So, and we don't have to worry about it, because they're all Krishna's energies. If we surrender to Krishna, he's not involved with them. He can say his energies, you know, he can run. And then though he is near perfection, then Krishna orders. He is. Material nature is working under my direction, Krishna says. First of all, Krishna orders Devi, Devi Devi. He is becoming my devotee. He is my devotee. He is surrendered to me now. You need him. Otherwise, this world is under the clutches of Devi Devi. The material energy is the realm of Devi. She is doing all the moving. Krishna says, leave him alone, he's mine now. He surrendered to me. He surrendered to me. You leave him alone. Retreat. Krishna is not my energy. Practically, it's my energy. Only Krishna can hold it. Who else can hold it? Bhagavad Gita. Krishna can hold it. My purpose. It's not Krishna orders that his purpose must be. Leave him alone. Now he's under my control, under my charge. He's surrendered to me, he's performing devotion, he's coming back home to me. So it's been made by my view, my idea. And Prabhupada said it's instant. It can be instant. He said, when you learn how to say no to Maya, for good. Not happy. Say no now, and the next day or 2 days later, you can do the same thing. When you're determined, say no to my effort. Prabhupada said, that kind of, you know, that becomes an itself, you know. Or that I don't even know this. That yoga maya would be, maha maya would be, the burden of yoga maya. It would reveal everything, Prabhupada. It can be instantaneous. But unfortunately, we don't say no to maya. The problem might be cycling, they're not cycling, but one can't work. So this is it. Now here when we read about it. Prabhupada said, you know the most foolish people? He said the devotees. Because they have information, and they've heard that. They have all this information, they don't act on it. They're not foolish. They're more foolish than the common people. So therefore, Krishna's kindly giving them the word. But then it's up to us to act on it. We get guru, we get shastra, we get all the instructions, Krishna himself comes, we get so much help. We have to think of that, we have to do it. The help is there, Krishna's not the problem. So we can do it, but chant, chant, chant. I like that. Because it's a tall train. Thank you for the time. The effort is telling me my chong, chong, chong. You know what? That's our situation. So, how complicated is this material? We can't understand this complicated material. Or the behavior. Or is that in our revealed? Otherwise, it's impossible. This is from the. Bhagavad Gita, this is explaining verse 34 in the Anandriyan, Eshu, Radha Eshu, Eshu, this desire and hatred. So, Baladev, the Dhammasang, he says, looking back at the desires and hatred, this is what we're doing. We like in this life, we desire something, we hate something, we accept something, we reject. So, it means that I like, I don't like. This is what goes on. And how the mind is functioning, what we're dealing with, from trust the mind. Mind is like water. It will always uncontrolled mind. It will always seek the lowest place. But if the mind is uncontrolled, it will become the greatest thing. But if it's controlled, it won't degrade you, it will elevate you. But how it works. So there are these impressions of asanas, that means previous karmas. You know, the scenes of karma and everything, the impressions we have from previous lives, etc. They're coming up, and the heart is seized, and they come up, and the tongue is right within the perfect way. So these are all impressions of Hashem. And they've been here since time immemorial, since the creation. And it's these that give rise to desire and hatred. When something comes up, a sense of comes back. It's due to those past impressions, the influences. I like it, I don't like it. I hate experiences, but I hate experiences bad. So it's those past influences, those past questions that influence, that are influencing the influence of which choice to make. So he says that they give rise to such things as desire to speak to others' wives, even though it's forbidden in the scriptures. And accompanying the desire, there arises knowledge of the positive features of doing so, and also arises the absence of knowledge of anything negative in doing so. This desire makes men act in a similar way. Hatred may develop concerning speaking to saintly persons, which is prescribed in the scriptures. This hatred is manifest along with knowledge that speaking to saintly persons is undesirable, and the lack of knowledge of anything desirable is it. And then you'll avoid the situation. So this is what's coming along with our desires, with these impressions. We like it, even if it's against scriptural injunctions, we will get reasons. Reasons will come why we should do it. The good reasons, the positive reasons. If we did it before, we got pleasure. This is happy, even though it's forbidden. But we got some pleasure that's difficult. And simultaneously, knowledge or absence of knowledge of all the positive things doesn't happen. No, you just see positive. That's the thing, right? You get the you go. It's advisable to associate with saintly persons. Go go to the temple, serve the Guru, serve the devotees. And you have no inclination. Somebody says, why don't you come to the temple? Go to the temple. You don't even talk about Krishna. Don't even talk about Krishna. You're not interested in it. You don't want that. Shut out the dolls there because they're so sick. They don't even need of eggs or fish or anything. All these negative things in your heart and tell you why you shouldn't go. And the positive side of it, you should go, you should associate with the knowledge that's teaching the truth. Then that knowledge is all kind of negative. It doesn't become negative. It's all coming over. So you only see what you like and what you dislike. So this is what's accompanying each desire. It tells whatever we like. And if this is a good thing, suppose I want to go to the temple, I want to associate with it, then that all that positiveness will help. And the negative stuff, that won't come into it. So accompanying our each desire is these different functions of it. To make us convinced that, you know, what we're doing is really good. There's no question we shouldn't do it. Only the positive. We should do it. So this is how implicated we are. Like when we have desires and we're acting on the desires, it's so complicated. So we need to get out of these desires. So therefore, I say one shouldn't come under the control of these sense objects, this attachment and repulsion. That's the first one should come under the control of attachment and repulsion. These are the two obstacles, the great obstacles in the path of self-realization. So that's just the way the nature is working. It didn't be good in the material world. If you want to be good. But if you determine to become good, then you do get help. But you have to have knowledge and you have to have association with the world. Otherwise it's impossible to be good in the material world. Even you want to be. There's so much anxiety. The anxiety is impossible. These Vaishnavas, the impressions that decide our nature, that create our nature, that we identify with, they're powerful enough to influence us indirectly. But they're not powerful enough to change our free will. So our free will is there and we determine. These impressions, they can't influence that. We're not using our free will properly, then they definitely influence, they will influence us. So this is the way to become free from the influence of these passions. And by our free will, and with that free will, we're not really choosing to serve Krishna. Everything we do is in service to Krishna. So the senses are still engaged in the sense of this, but it's all using Krishna's service. So we're not becoming influenced. We know what we should do and what we shouldn't do by the injunctive instruction of the Guru. And it's only by their mercy that we can use our independence, our free will, to go back home, back to God, to practice spiritual life. And then we get all the help. The more sincere we are, the more help we get. But without the association of devotees, nobody can really understand what's going on. They don't know what life is. Influence of all these objects of attraction and repulsion is too strong, it's really good. Nobody's worth it out here. Prabhupada came, of course it was very long, but it wasn't quite alone in India, they must be both. If anyone else did, all the information and knowledge and universities then for how many hundreds and hundreds of years, so good advice. Prabhupada's come in and get healing. Life's all about. You can never know this one because your mind is so tricky. I said it, I know you're mad. I didn't go in on my own part. Doing exactly what I want and everything is right what I do because my mind is telling me, the universe is telling me it's exactly what I want. But this is what's happening. Mad elephant. So I become a bouncing at white elephant instead of mad elephants. So I was bouncing white elephant. Then I'm free from this one. Anyway, this is the description of what's happening, the interactions of all these different elements inside the system itself is that about this point here. So if you don't have this knowledge, then you're lost. And if you don't act on the knowledge, you're lost. Very easily take this one. Here's my home question. This is from Makur, Punjabi Bank, New Delhi. Hi, Krishna Prabhu. In the state of sleep, we dream. The external senses are not active and the mind is not in our control. Yet we are experiencing everything as real. Please explain what one should infer from such a state of experience. And it says in the life and the mind is not in our control. So, to get very strange and everything is real. There's three stages of consciousness that we can experience. That's a waking stage, like now that we're interacting, so that we can experience that. Then there's another experience in dreaming, when the body's not active, but the mind is active. It's another state of existence. And there's another state of existence when we're in deep sleep, and that's just happening. Almost like unconscious. But when we wake up, we say, I can't read it instead of sleep. So we were conscious, but there's someone who's conscious of states of existence. But none of these three states of existence or states of consciousness are our pure consciousness. These states are the nearest thing to mukti. There's nothing more. But still, that's what we're experiencing. There's a fourth state for Buddha. It's the transcendental state because our own identity is spirit. Which we've forgotten. Now we're not experiencing it ourselves, but by the modes of information, it's coming. So, what can we infer from it? We can infer that it's beyond our control. When we're sleeping, the mind is beyond our control. And even the mind is, it doesn't always know that we're in dreams. The mind becomes confused. The mind is out of control in dreams also. So it's a different state of consciousness. And everything seems real at that time. But when we wake up, it's not real. But it's only this external state of consciousness. We take it to be very real. So we can wake up from this dream also. But this is not real. And the unconscious state is also not real. But what is real is the jiva, the soul is eternal. And Krishna is eternal in the service of Krishna is eternal. state of experience. Yeah, we can infer it's not real. When we wake up, we can understand it's not real. When we're asleep, it's real. Apparently it's real. The tiger is there, we're being chased with the spirit that we do. When we wake up, it's not real. It's not real. So similarly, all these states that we can experience now, is the waking state, it's not real. The dream state is not real. The unconscious state is not real. Apart from these states, what can you experience? So then this is all. First topic is what Jacob about from the middle. Cleanse the heart, then you're going to feel this full experience, the full sense of consciousness. And now you have experience with nothing. Again, Gandhi serves Krishna, which is the mantra. This movement begins with Jeta Bhava and the mantra. First, and then, if you understand who you are, then you can actually perform the exercises. You feel it with emotion from this self. So that's the first. It's not a form of self-realization. This is the main difference. Cleanse the heart and you can understand the eternal existence comes from us. And the platform of eternality. That platform is covered in the world. By the time you arrive, the process of being dead. We uncover it and we can understand that. In fact, from Kumadi Atma, Arjuna asked Krishna, what is the Atma? What is Brahman? What is the Atma? What is the self? Krishna said, the living entity is Brahman. And his eternal nature is what the self. And self-realization is waking to that eternal nature, which is us. The path is everywhere, but we are eternal, yeah. But now we've forgotten that nature. The eternal nature. Living energy is Brahman, and his eternal nature is called the self. So we've forgotten our eternal nature, we've forgotten that. And we're realizing or living in these three states of existence in this material world. Awake, sleep, and sleep. So the idea is we're awakening to our real consciousness, our Krishna consciousness. What the fourth dimension? Krishna consciousness. Thank you. Any comments? Questions? You know, many don't sleep. Why do you have to sleep? We're lagging. The ginger is lagging. Lagging of size. Everything is lagging. Knowledge. Physical strength. So therefore we have to sleep. Yeah, that's the idea we're lagging in everything. But Krishna, he doesn't lag. He doesn't have to sleep. What about you? Brother said, I prayed to Krishna that he may not be able to sleep. Sometimes that is like I'm so difficult to translate my books in the daytime. You know, worldwide news and everybody was calling Prabhupada all the time, asking Prabhupada. He said, I get no time to write and managing worldwide news. So he said, I pray to Krishna and not be able to sleep and I can translate that time. And he said, Krishna, you put my compassion. No, I don't have to sleep. Thank you.